is to repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what the Word says I can do. It's the living seed of God living in me, and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never will I be the same. God increase, pastor decrease. Give his ears to hear what God has to say. I'm going to walk with power, not let the loss get left. Amen. You guys may be seated. And Emmett, just let me know, wave your hand when you got that image ready for me. As we are getting ready and just for school about to start, all the impacting things that you do, make sure you, right, the foundation is set, right? One of the things the enemy loves to do, your kid can be having a great day, but it'll attack you. You're the foundation, right? We'll work on this sermon. Not quite there yet. Seem like I give away stuff, right? Adam and Eve in the garden. Did Eve take the fruit? Yes. Did Eve eat the fruit? Digested it, right? Did anything happen? No. It wasn't until she gave it to Adam. The minute Adam ate, everything went crazy. He was the foundation. The enemy's after the foundation. The enemy's after the foundation. So today I'm heading there. It'll be a two-day retreat. We'll have 400 kids at this. This is all, I was going to say secular, but public school. It's not a Christian thing. But they're bringing them to a Christian camp. All right? Okay, so let's think about it, right? So that's the big prayer crawl in Kerrville, Texas. It's huge cross. It's massive. Some of you guys have been there. It's called the empty cross, right? Because Jesus ain't up there anymore. And it's open like that. And at night, it lights up. It's amazing. My hotel's right across the street from that. So I get some good prayer time tonight. The other part of about, then the next day, I go to this place called Mole Ranch. It's Presbyterian Church Ranch. So all of these kids coming from all of these schools out of all of the San Antonio Northeast ISD district, they're going to be there, saved or not. Now, God said, wherever you place your foot, call it God's land. That literally is. So I want you just to be in prayer in your time. Whenever it pops up in your head, they'll have 2 days of this. And we all have to stay on camp together of this. Welcome to my island. And so, just be in prayer. I don't know why I got on that, but I need you to do that. Okay, amen. Okay, today we're going to preach about between my God and me. How many of y'all think that's a good thing, that things are between you and your God? And then because you got enough people around you trying to play God with you. And so sometimes it needs to be, you need to remember, it's between my God and me. And that don't mean you can disregard everybody else. You do need to honor Scripture, but you need to make sure that it's between me and my God. Right? And so, growing in my garden, right? Let's find out what's growing in our garden. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23 through 24, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. She hasn't read the sermon yet. She's just up here saying all my stuff. Okay? Which y'all caught, right, when Pastor Rita said, it was a beautiful thing that I did. Like that, this never happens. Like it was a Kodak moment, that me going up there to do that without complaining was a Kodak. It was a beautiful thing. I was like, all right, I see you. But she is right. That's the first time I've ever gone up there not complaining. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Right? If you've ever grown, I mean, all of us have grown. Go ahead and get it over with, okay? Let's go ahead and get it over with. No one has a garden of weeds. No one's goal is to grow weeds, okay? You see, I've been struggling with it all morning because I'm like, I'm going to say it, and I'm thinking it. The garden of weeds. you don't add the S on there. Yeah, you're trying to grow the garden of wheat. But nobody does that. But you never plant weeds. The goal is not to grow weeds, but weeds grow anyway. Since you've been saved, have you had stuff still growing in you that you got to deal with? And one of the problems is, unlike this man who said, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. One of the stigmas with churches is that if you go up to somebody and say, I'm struggling, I don't believe, they look at you like something's wrong with you. And it's not the fact that he said, God, I believe, help my unbelief. He said, God, I believe in you, but I'm struggling to believe about my situation, about my life. I believe in you, but I don't see how my kid is ever going to get better. I believe in you, but I don't see how I'm ever going to change. I believe in you, but I don't see how my job is ever going to get better. I believe, help my unbelief. And you got to pray that. You got to be real enough to know that the enemy is going to grow weeds in you. That's the thing I hate about my yard. We don't ask for weeds. They grow anyway. The water is not prejudice. It hits everything. So if you still got weeds in your life, it's going to grow. What do you got to do with weeds in your regular yard? What are you supposed to do with weeds? Pull them out by the root. When God is telling you and dealing with your life to pull things out and you leave them in, they will grow. They will grow. If you don't pull out your attitude and you don't pull out your anger, church is just a place you can come to talk to people you ain't talked to all week. Because the weeds in you, it's so struggling not to say the weed in you, the weeds in you are still growing. And let me tell you, those of us who pluck them out, we have to continue to pluck them out. Right? You know, diets, you know, when people on diets or weight loss things, they have cheat days. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Can't a cheat day last longer than one day? Come on, man, you're cheating like it's just ongoing, like you... Yeah, I'm still cheating. I'm not done yet. Right? It puts a momentum, right? I'm terrified because I've been still fasting, and I'm concerned that a piece of cake is going to just fall in my mouth. Just dreaming like that, jogging. So, and like I'm thinking, like, keep the weeds pulled out. There's no desire for it right now. But one touch from hell, from a devil's food cake, could sit me in this raging, like, come on, Rita, gonna find me in a floor huddled up around cupcakes. Because you understand that even though you're doing something good, the weeds are still going to grow if you don't pluck them out, not every now and then, daily. Right? So I don't have any interest in church because I got weeds in me. I come here, I don't pay attention, I don't take notes, I don't do any of that stuff, and I'm not telling you, I don't want you to feel offended about not taking notes, I don't want you to feel guilty. What I'm saying is, pluck the weeds. Because if something's on your mind, there have been times I've been so distracted when I've come up here to pray and thinking about something may have been going on in our household that I have to run again because the whole time I just ran aimless. Right? We all get it, right? I'm telling you, me too. Right, this is the Me Too ministry right now. Me Too. Don't let the title make you think I'm not extinct, but I'm exempt from it. But what's growing in your gardens? Are you planting weeds? Because there are times you can plant them. Are you planting the wrong attitude? Are you planting doubt? Are you planting unbelief? Those things will grow. And you're like, God, where are you at? Clean the garden. There are no tomatoes. And so he says this, and so we have to go like, Pastor, help my unbelief. Pastor Rita, help my unbelief. You help your own unbelief. God, help me. I'm struggling with this. Because then if the enemy gets you to practice, again, a mistake is not what upsets people. It's when you make that mistake over and over again. Making a mistake's not a problem. Making it a habit, yeah, that's a problem. Because you're going to make mistakes. We're not perfect. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why you get tired of people say, you sin too. Yeah, but I ain't practicing. Right? Come on, as church people, we need to quit going, yeah, you're right, let's just go and act crazy together. No, I ain't practicing. Yes, I make mistakes, but I don't let mistakes make me. right? And you go ahead and you tell them, let's get right with God together. Don't nobody want to skips to the altar. Water, even on your best days, the best things that water, you're in church right now, and we watering your faith, we're watering your hope, as Pastor Rita said, watering your joy, watering your peace. And if you got a deal with your impatience, that's getting watered too. Because you'll leave out of here full of the Holy Ghost and fire. All the Catholic people coming out, you get caught in traffic. And now that impatience has been watered along with your church stuff. And then you go and you flip out after leaving church. Amen? I'm trying to help you out that we've all done it. Right? Especially when the great conversation of what do you want to eat for lunch? That is coming. And if you have not watered your faith and you've let that get more water and you've cultivated that more than the blessings of God and all things are possible, that thing will grow right out in the parking lot on your way out. And the enemy will use condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, let there be no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But the enemy will use that and make you think, see, you must not be good enough for God, or you must not be right with God, because how can you still have these two things going? Just like this man said, God, I believe, help my unbelief. God, I believe, I know I'm supposed to love, help me stop hating that person. Right? Good. This is a great place. You're supposed to come to church. I don't get it. I don't get when people don't come to church. But, that doesn't make sense to me. However, I also know that just coming to church is not enough. Just like you have to pluck yourself out of bed and pluck on some clothes, you need to pluck out the weeds and pluck out stuff that you got laying around in your garden. Amen? Some weeds grow little stickles on them. You seen that? Where you grab and they hurt you? What the weeds want you to do is leave them alone. And God is, here's God's message. Here's right in the garden, out in the heat. I love yard work, by the way, okay? He said, go get some gloves. Go get another scripture in your life. If that one's biting you back, go add some more stuff on your hands. Get padded. Get the good gloves. Don't you be afraid to touch a problem because it's been there so long, it's done grew stuff. And you got to pluck it out. Because you want your garden to be good. You don't want there to be weeds in there. You don't want stuff to be seen that shouldn't be seen in there. Right? Man, I love after the fast. We have all food sermons after the fast. It's just been all food stuff. So taking up our cross daily means that we put out weeds in our life so they will not hinder our momentum with God's will. So one of the things that can happen is you can leave out here on fire for God, get out there, get in the restaurant, somebody misserve your food, mess some up, and now you've lost your momentum with God. You had an hour and a half to get all of your week's problems out, get your week started for God, and in 6 seconds, Usain Bolt says, I practiced years to run a 9-second race. Most people will give up after 10 minutes. And the race isn't even your race is longer than that. Years. Don't give up. Here's what we must understand. We live in a fallen world, right? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. This is a sinful world. So things are going to fall. Right? Sitting on the bedside of family members, watching a relative pass away, that's a tough room to be in. Okay? Still, we have to go. We're in a fallen world. Things are going to fall. Things are going to happen. However, weeds are going to be around us, and God has given us authority to not allow the weeds to continue to grow within us. Right? Any of y'all ever been around weed? I'm asking, just for a friend. I said weed. Okay, now I'm trying to get y'all help yourself out because y'all sitting there like, listen. And you've seen in your grass where you've been around weeds. right? And they sit there and they look, they can blend, but they kind of stick out a little bit. You know, oh, that ain't. You understand? That don't look like Bermuda. Now look, some of y'all need to come out of that stuff now. So what do they got now, right? Now, y'all just help me. Just stay here, right? They got these things called black and that is. See, I need people I can fellowship with, right? They got they're right. Black and mild. You see, y'all seem to see, but y'all don't see. But that's what I mean. Help my unbelief, right? Help my unbelief. Black and mild, and they smell like black and wild, right? They smell like, yeah, they smell, it's like, so the first time I ever smelled one, I thought, skunk, not nature. Y'all know what, okay, y'all with me? I'm just trying to help. So it smelled like, and you see, anytime Pastor Reed and I are together, she think, man, somebody's smoking weed. I go, no, that ain't weed. Because I remember one time hearing from my cousin Duracell about what weed supposed to smell like. Not that I knew, but I heard about my cousin. He told me about what weed smell like. That ain't it. But it is close. Which means that somebody's trying to mask something. We got too many Christians got the mask of flowers. They smell like one. But they're not presenting themselves as one. Right? Up here we got fake fire. I touch it all day. God, I'm carrying a flame. This little light of mine. Y'all get the example. If that ain't the devil right there. You're going to come apart in my illustration. This is Matthew chapter 13, verse 27 through 30. This is a Living Translation because I like the way this said it. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted the good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied. "You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into a bundle, burn them, and to put the wheat into the barn." Okay? Now, his servant comes to the farmer. He says, "There are weeds in the garden that you planted." Right? Let's say, you're a Christian. Yes. There are weeds in your life that people point out. Where they come from? Where they come from? Why you still got some stuff you ain't fixed yet? Where they come from? Didn't people do that to us? You supposed to be the farmer. Well, I thought you'd been over there planting Jesus. Why you got a little devil in there? Huh? Right? Trust me, y'all know how I preach. Y'all know I'm telling you to keep the devil. I'm not telling you to keep it. But sometimes we get some cousins. Right? And then you get somebody come on. "I thought you were saved." That's the little servant. Listen, where did they come from? Oh, you went to church. Where'd they come from? Well, I also walked around you, so. That's the stuff I don't get to say. I get to tell you all about it in church, but I don't get to say to the person because I want to. And God says, no, because you're being Tory, not pastor. But I want to be Tory sometimes. Because when they ask me, they're like, "Hey, you look like you're upset," because people think I'm supposed to smile all the time. Usually I am smile all the time. But they go like, "Well, I thought you was Christian. Why are you smile all the time?" Well, that ain't in the Bible whether I smile all the time or not. That's just something I get to do as being blessed though I've been a Christian. And even just like right now, I'm having to talk to you, and I'm not smiling right now because I don't. And it shuts off. But the way it would go, this is the unedited version that I'm going to share with y'all, because I'm talking to you who I don't like. And right now I don't like you, and I don't want to smile because you make me not want to smile. I don't get to say that part. Right? He says, where did they come from? And you got to realize that Paul said the same thing, right? In Romans chapter 7, verse 14 and 20, this is the greatest riddle. Paul says it this way: the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't, I know I'm not supposed to do, I keep doing them. Everybody, raise your hand if that's you. True or true? I know I'm not supposed to do it, but I keep doing the things I don't want to do. I know God loves me, but I still act like God doesn't love me. I'm still questioning it. I ain't never seen him lose a battle, but I think he's going to lose this one. God's about to, he's about to have his one loss. Buster Douglas of my life is now entering in, and Mike Tyson, he's there, and Buster going to knock him out. No, he does not lose. He doesn't lose. And so you have to come back, and you have to say to the point, where did this come from? Why is this still? Paul said it this way: sin is still living in me. Right? And so again, that's again, it's okay because you confront it. It's when you justify it. That's when it's a problem. When you justify, oh yeah, that's supposed to be that. That's supposed, no, it ain't. Light you a real fire. And you move forward. But listen, the servant was instructed, this is the one that gets me, not to pull the weeds. He said, let them grow together. Now, I know you're not going to be honest, so I'm going to say this to you. There are times I've asked God, why did you keep people around me that you knew were weeds? Here's what I believe as I was getting this sermon. And Pastor Rita will tell you, the sermons are rolling in me like crazy right now, okay? She will tell you. She'll be like, bruh. And that's because my great nephew has been with me. He said, bruh, 1,000 times. Here's what I believe. Because he said, let them grow together. Because if you pull this stuff out too soon, the good in you is not going to develop. He says, if you pull out the weeds now, you may pull out some of the wheat. The things you're still dealing with, that tough job situation, because there's something that's not done growing in you yet. Quit asking God to take trouble away and start telling, and not telling him, start asking him to grow you in it. Because it's going to come a time it ain't going to be able to stick with you. It's going to come a time those insults, those words, that negativity isn't going to be able to stay with you if you would grow enough. It's been my complaint since birth. It's been my point. Mom, if I would have grown enough, I wouldn't have been so angry. Everybody else got to be 6 feet. I wouldn't be this way. But he's saying, I'm not taking it away. Y'all hear what the farmer said? I don't pull it out now. Don't pull it out just yet. And let me be clear about this. God don't plant problems to teach us anything. Let's make sure you say that. Because we'll have people say, God took them home. God ain't killing people. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. God ain't, because people got their wings. Not from God. You can't find a verse in the Bible that, out. Okay? We got to fix our stuff, because if those weeds stay, you might be the one that ain't wanting the wings. But if you think it's a God-ordained thing to take you out, how can I pray against what God wants to do? He didn't come to do that. Okay, I don't want to get stuck there. But the weeds are there. And so since they're not God-ordained things, the God-ordained things that are in you can grow in spite of them. You got to quit trying to get yourself together. When I cannot think about bad things, no, cast down evil imagination. That's the reason why it's there. When I cannot be afraid, fear not. That's the reason why the verse is there. It wouldn't be there if it didn't tell you that you're going to run into some things that's going to make you be afraid at times. You're going to run into some things that's going to make you angry sometimes. You're going to run into some stuff that's going to make you thought. You're going to run into some things that's going to make you think, I'm not lovable. Cast down that imagination. And then grow enough to where that weed don't bother you anymore. It's unpluckable while you still acting like a child. You may dig up fertilizer that you're going to need. Said, I mean, this church is just an event. Church is just a routine. Church is just something I get to do. Church is just something I go through the motions with. That's why I can come here and go back and be like the same. And it may be, but for a while, you're going to need to keep coming to church until the point to where you grow out of that. Right? And there's some clothes that we've grown out of. Right? We've grown out of clothes. We won't get rid of them because we're going to make them a goal. Holla at me. And then when we get back down to them clothes that we can grow back into, we won't get rid of the big ones because someday. Ain't nobody living like that? And then we got too much stuff, we got too many things, but we don't give it away to Goodwill because I'm Goodwill. I'm Salvation Army. Between my God and me. Between my God and me. I may be care, man, I can't wait for the next 2 days. I'm going to light them people. Listen, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good for them who love God. Now, if God's thing going to work together for the good, that little hateful person on your job, you know the one I'm talking about. That little hateful, that little devil on your, I mean, that little whatever that thing is on your job that's constantly making comments and always making stuff to say and always got something to say about you, you just go and say, this weed is going to be plucked someday. That's all you say. You just quoting scripture. Now, how to pluck and go down, that ain't your job now. They may pluck out of their bad attitude. Oh, this is the next sentence. Hey, I won't not say it to them. But I'm not going to say that. Yeah, no. I hate that Tanya was that close to us. So God says all things work together for the good for those who love him. So what is my goal to get these weeds off me? To love God. Don't pay too much attention to the weeds. If y'all didn't hear Wednesday night sermon, I'm telling you, you better go hear it because you're going to be messed up. Because it's God's, it's your faith IQ, okay? Play on words. You got to know how to see God more than you see problems. See, my intelligence is about what I see about God. That's where I'm so intelligent about what I see about God. I was telling my little nephew, KJ, because he won't sit down. Vanessa, you was this close to getting a call. You need another one? I'll trade cars. Uncle Tori, let's ride the bike. Uncle Tori, let's go upstairs. So Uncle Tori, sit down. Then I said this to him. I said this to him yesterday. I said, you're my great nephew. He goes, oh, I like that. This is exactly what he said. He has no idea what it means relative-wise. He thinks, I'm the best one you got. He was like Jairo, and Jairo found out his name, middle name was King. He was like, why didn't you go with that with the first name? His mom had a vote. And Jairo is better. He said, I'm going to go great one? I go, yeah, just stand up, man. Yeah, it's just great. It means that your mama is my niece. Your generation down. No, you said great, though. How many of y'all need to go to God and be like, God, you said great, though. You said, I read 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's within me. You said, great, though. You weren't playing. You said, great, though. He was like, then he said, this is 7 o'clock last night. He said, I'm going to ride the bike, and you jog down to the church. I said, but I've already worked out. No, come on, Pat. Come on, uncle. Y'all should see him. He can barely get on this bike. Like, it's left, right? He riding, he coming out of the hill, left, right. And I'm running behind him like, I'm going to die behind this kid. Like, but I want to spend time with him because I'm, you know. And we got up there and said, he said, let's get a drink. It's like, dude, just get there. Just get there. And it's like this much attention, this much time. He's got me to himself. It's just me and him. Ain't nobody else. I said, well, your nieces are coming. You will have to share. Okay? You got it? He goes, okay, we're going to go. But it's us. And some of y'all need to look at God like that. God wants you. He loves you. And he wants to do stuff with you. But you stop asking sometimes. Y'all know good and well I wouldn't have come with him if he didn't ask. And if he didn't continually ask, I really wouldn't have come. But he would not stop. He said right underneath me, let's go. Let's go to the church. Man, y'all know how blessed that is to have a kid say, let's go to the church. You know how crazy it would have been? Like, no, man, we don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. He on this side here. Give me a towel. Okay? And sometimes those are the moments when our kids stop wanting to go to church that they remember, you didn't want to take me then. Why am I going to go now? Aren't you an arm reader of the pastors? Because he said, who tell y'all what to do? God and all the people you're going to see tomorrow. Yeah, that's who tell us what to do. That's why we putting up the signs, bruh. This ain't no mafia. What you talking about? Don't you run in here and act like one, okay? So again, when you hear that request, when you get that request, and it may be uncomfortable, and it may mess with your weeds, but you may have to pluck yourself out to get here. We got here, we played, and then nighttime came, and we had to run back. Now, at our house, there's a hill to get there. In the last part of the trip, the hardest. Finish your play. I'll use every one of them titles if I can. We got to the hill. He no longer could ride. He was no longer faster than I was. He couldn't even walk it up the hill. So I eventually caught up. Let me tell you, they may be spinning off from you now, but you're going to eventually catch up. He was preaching, and we didn't even know it. Because that hill was, he was like, little legs couldn't do it. I'm out. Here, you take your bike. You ride it from here. And I said, no, I'm not going to ride it. We're going to walk up here together, because I know what that meant, right? You ride it. Let me get on your back. No, we're going to walk up here together. I ain't trusting that. No, sir. No, sir, bro. No, sir, Rebob. So we're looking at that. So those who love God, you got to love God so that you don't have things going in your life. Because we know what the question comes up, right? When we look at these things, it is human nature to ask God, why would he let weeds grow? Or a more common question is, why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen to us, right? I'm the good one in the family. Why am I going through this? I'm the one that goes to church. Why am I going through this? Girl, let them weeds grow. Man, let them weeds grow. And then eventually, if you would go on, grow up, they will grow out. You can't pluck them now because you may lose you. Trying to get rid of them. I don't like that verse. I'm telling you now, when I read that, I was like, Why they got to grow with me? Because eventually they hurt you if you're not stable in Christ. You drop your guard 1 minute, the same thing that was growing right next to you will stick you. And if you stop growing because you're hurt, if you stop growing, that weed will stay. So you have to stop being hurt, start growing with God so the weed can be plucked out. You got to become a mature enough plant, a mature enough flower, so it'll come time to harvest that God can get you. When you're not ready, you stay in weed level, that sticking thing is going to stay right by you. So we got to pull ourselves out. Listen at this. Psalms 23 and verse 5 says this: God prepared a table before me in the presence of my right, you full of weeds right around you. Don't stop eating. God prepares a table for you. No matter how many people don't like you, for whatever reason they don't like you, even though they're still around you, and even though you pray for God to kill them, and he won't kill them or he won't maim them, because we got to quit acting like we don't pray for God to get rid of them. I hope they don't show up to work today. I hope they run out of sick leave. I hope I'll loan them sick leave. If you had a company where you could give people sick leave? I've given them people. Here, take a week. I got 800 hours. Here, take 40. Just stay home. They would. Now, I would do it because, let me say, they wouldn't let me give it to people I wanted to give it to. That was wrong. But they let me give it to people who had cancer and run out of sick leave. I'd give them sick leave. And they'd start crying, like, why are you giving me sick leave? I don't plan to be sick. You are. But I want him to let me give it to them. Because they ill. They don't know it. So in the presence of man. So God knows that our faith will expand when tough times are coming our way. Now listen, your faith expands during problems. Amen? True or true? You pray more when things go down. True or true? Amen? Right? And God wants you to get out of that. He appreciates you praying because the tough time has come, but he wants to have a relationship with you that you don't have to increase your prayer because your prayer is already increased because you do it daily. Right? That's what he wants to do. But he'll honor. God, we got a problem. Let's pray everybody. Nobody crossed the door without praying. You, And he appreciates it, but he really wants is we want to be so deep in relationship you can be continual. Right? Can you imagine coming up to me and you say, Pastor, you pray over the church? And I say, okay, I'll start doing that. You back away like, start. And I'd back away like, why you ask me a crazy question? Like, because why wouldn't I be? And in your life, you should not just now be praying over your kids because somebody else caught them. The problem should not trigger you to pray more than the promise. We can't be better than the wheat. If we just stay in what God has prepared, we can be confident there's nothing he can't repair. Amen? So if God prepared it, he can repair whatever happens along the way. Okay? He can do it. Now, when the harvest comes, there is a time when weeds will have to be removed. There are people that you got to remove. You got to get them out, okay? You can't keep growing and pulling. Can't keep growing and pulling. We were just talking about it the other day, right? There's a little bush at our house. A trailer has hit it. I've chopped it down with an axe to a nub. That thing keep coming back. I'm still here. I'm still standing. I'm still strong. Like, I'm talking like I've chopped it down to a nub. Like, you just saw, but I can't get the roots. I can't get in there and get the roots, no matter how far down. Now, it's not a weed. I guess it's just a bush. It's a shrub. You can't kill God's stuff. A weed can be plucked out, but when it's rooted, when you get rooted, come on. It's got flowers, right? I'm telling y'all, I've been out there mowed it. I'll be like, come on, got my weights. I've dropped weights on it. I've like crunched it. I've like everything. And that bad boy be like, That's all you got. Listen, some of us that are in this room today are doing that. The devil can't, like, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to do. I done chopped them up. They still, and they act crazy. They get rid of the flower, and you keep growing on them. How you keep growing a flower out of nothing that was enough? How do you get, like, splendors, and you still got, how? Look at the devil up there confused, and you're like, am I good enough? Man, you still got a flower on you. Chop the pieces. Pastor Rita was just saying, that thing is growing. It just won't die. Let's adopt that. I'm not going to die. I'm just not going to die. We just got to do it. Listen to this. Mark chapter 4, verse 13 through 20, which is probably the verse I should have gone with to start with this whole sermon, but Jesus is better than me. Why you didn't tell me it was crooked? Like a helicopter. I see it. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? If you are taking notes, if you got anything, mark this in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. This is the verse that explains any verse. This parable explains it. And he says, how then will you know all parables if you don't know this? Okay? Now, what's been judged in the church for years is sowing and reaping. Even though in Genesis 8:23, the Bible says, 8:22, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time will remain. Right? That gets judged. Jesus said, if you don't get this, you ain't gonna get none of it. This right here is the stuff you gotta get at all times. Now listen, it says, and the sower soweth the word. Never. Not speak the word because you don't feel like you've been living up to par. You've got to sow the word. Well, my kids say I'm messing up. You still paying the bills and feeding them. Now, your kids come up, your room ain't clean. Who cooking? You ain't went to the stove. And when you do, you get candy. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown in, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Okay? So you got an enemy. There's a fight. And you can hear a scripture, walk out of here and judge yourself in a second. Remember Paul said it, sin living in me, between my God and me. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterwards. Then affliction or persecution ariseth of the word, for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good grounds, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Right? Sometimes it'll only take a 30-fold return for you to get rid of weeds. Sometimes it'll take a 60, and sometimes it'll take 100. But God is always wanting you to get there to 100. But you got to make sure you get the ground right. There's nothing wrong with the farmer or the seeds. It's the ground. Isaiah 55:11 says, my word cannot and will not return unto me void. It will accomplish where I'm sending it. But the ground needs to be receptive. So God changed my grounds. I can't pray I'll forgive on the grounds if they get their life right. See, nothing can grow there. That will choke the word every time. God, I'll serve you. I'll give to you when I get more money. That's a wayside. You're excited about what God is doing. You love the vacation Bible school. We're all excited about Pastor going up there with a good attitude, getting these trees that's up there high in Christmas in July. They don't know here at House of Power Outreach, we actually do Christmas in July. But if the devil thinks I'm going to get him out of my wife because she's trying to do something to bless our children and trying to take me, and now God has now taken the weed that once was in my life that I was getting these attitudes about doing something that she was doing to bless the church and the church's children. But I stand up here and say, we pray for your children, but I want to complain about getting the trees to decorate. It gets me too. You know what I mean? But you got to be like, I'm your great nephew. This is what you like about me? You ain't got me. So Jesus tells us that understanding this parable is everything. What you sow is what you will. Let's go with the world, right? Let's go with the world says that you will. What is the word that they use? What is the word? Karma. Okay, say whatever you want. You're going to get it if you sow it. All right, okay, circle it. I know you don't believe in karma. No, we just say it differently. I believe in sowing and reaping. Yeah, karma on. Caramel, karma. Butterscotch. There's nothing wrong with the planter. There's nothing wrong with the seed. But sometimes we don't have the right ground. And sometimes when we're mad and upset, we don't even want people to encourage us. Right? I only want to talk to her. I don't want you to say nothing happy to me because I'm mad. Well, you can just go on to Hades then. I mean, that's what you're playing with, though. Pastor Ray didn't know. See, that's it. I want him to play with that fire. Get your hand in there. So God says, deal with your ground. Because you can't just keep coming to church, getting excited, and then dropping off. Getting a word and then letting it get choked out of you. Deal with your ground. It's time for you to start lasting longer so the weeds don't go to the next generation. Right? I can't let weeds get to my grand. I'm looking. We don't have grandkids. I can't let weeds get to my kids. And I can't let weeds get to our great nephews and great all that. I can't let weeds get there. Amen. Oh, Lord. Miss Pat. All right. Here it is. Our prayer is this. Here's your prayer. God, change my grounds that I may be more acceptable to the word. Never allow shame to have a final word. Go to God and let him help with unbelief. And just because it is there doesn't mean it has to stay there. Okay? It doesn't have to stay. Amen? All right, let's bow our heads. Thank you for the extra 6 minutes of preaching which you've given me. So, Father, as we bow our heads and close our eyes, some of us may sit and say, God, I did not know that you could deal with my weeds. And Lord, I did not know that you can still find a flower in the thing that I thought I had made irreparable. I just thought it couldn't be repaired. I just thought there's no way that you could repair my heart, my mind, my soul. I didn't think you could repair me from the scars and the hurt that I've been through. I didn't think that. I didn't realize that. But Lord, I also know now that there's a level of me that can mature, that these weeds can get plucked out of me. Lord, I receive you dealing and cultivating good ground. I understand, God. God, I believe in you. There's no doubt. Lord, but I need help with my unbelief. There's just some things I struggle with belief. I get caught up in fairness. I get caught up in, and Lord, I've been doing everything right. I get caught up in how good I've been and miss out on how good you've always been. I let my moment of goodness make me forget about your eternal goodness. But Lord, I thank you today as I surrender. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. I truly believe. Help my unbelief. Help me never to feel guilty about it. Help me to stand and present it before you. Lord God, I know there are weeds all around me, but Lord, you're sharing with me and you're showing me that if I just continue to grow, the weeds won't be able to stay. Help me get out of the place where weeds have authority. Help me get out of the mindset. I have to stop thinking about how this person wronged me. I have to stop thinking about how this didn't come through for me. Lord God, because as long as I stay there, the weeds are going to stick around. And I'm tired of being stuck by the same thing over and over and over again. It's the same point. It's the same stab. It's the same thing. I don't want that anymore. I rise up. I grow today, right now. I grow. I receive the discernment of God right now. Father, that your power may overwhelm me. And Lord God, I'm stronger for what I've been through. Lord, we thank you. We receive it as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.